You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Homarg, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his side with me, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and top of an evening to you all. Before we start tonight's show, I'd like to make a couple of, first of all, I'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in and listening. I got quite a few emails here the last a week on the show. I guess everybody liked that little conference thing we had going on here last week, so figured we'd do it again. Also, two notes. The chat room, we do have a chat room. It does work. The link to it is on the www.bigfootlive.com page. There's an actual chat room in the bottom of the home page, but if you go back to where it says where you read this week's what's going on this week, there's a link that you can click on, and it'll come up in your little bar, and you can have a separate little chat room thing set aside as well. Also, something I added tonight, this afternoon. Because we're going to be showing some pictures or talking about some different things. And I put four pictures in a photo gallery. And if you look at the table of contents on the side of the Bigfoot Live page, on the left side, there's where it says home, and of course this week's guide, contact us, all that. On the very bottom, there's a Bigfoot Live photo gallery. If you look at that, click on it, it'll take you back into four photographs that we're going to hopefully discuss this evening or this evening tonight. Okay? Well, anyway, I invited Don from North Carolina back again this week, and trying to get him. He's a gentleman. His wife had an encounter some time ago, and saw a creature, and it was pretty neat. I'm going to bring Don on so we can discuss that. Don, how are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
You're going to have to come up next to the microphone. I think you got your speakerphone on.
Try it again.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there we got you. Anyway, what we'd like to, what we're going to do tonight is something a little different, and we're going to go and just spend about 10 minutes with each guest, and then we're going to go in at the end of the show and have about 10 or 15 minutes to discuss things back and forth, ask questions of the other guests, things like that. One of the things we have a couple people that are also with us that aren't guests on the show, but they're always guests here. They always dial in. And one is Rocky, and he's from Arkansas, and he's had some pretty thrilling experiences. And he should be a well of knowledge in the Bigfoot arena here. Also, we've got the gentle giant Steve, and he's with us tonight as well. I'll name all the guests. Richard from New York. We have Anthony from Virginia. We have Chris from Arkansas. And we also have Don from North Carolina.
My wife.
And that's and your wife's name
is Mildred.
Mildred.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Don and Mildred. And basically, we're gonna just go through a little overview of what each one has done, what's going on. Don, has anything been going on in your area here recently? I know that you've had some problems with. I didn't ask you last time you were on here, but you've had some problems with your knee, and you can't get around very well. So it kind of keeps you homebound a lot, right? I'm sure it does.
Well, this kind of messed my whole fall season up because I had different things I wanted to do, and I can't do them now.
I know. I understand. But give us an overview of you and Mildred and what took place of the encounter and a little bit of a description of the creature.
I'll let her do that, but...
Sure, that's fine.
Our housing community is part pasture, and the rest of it was just carved out of the woods, old woods. And we moved here in 1977. I've got 4 acres of land, and from Zachary Lane, you cannot see my house. You can now, but then you couldn't. And we were completely surrounded by woods. I mean, completely surrounded. And it was, I would say, the late spring, about maybe 12 or 13 years ago, and I'm not sure where I was at. I was in the house or on the deck or whatever, and it was real late in the afternoon, and I heard my wife start screaming, and she came running in the house, and I let her take it over from here.
Okay. Hi, Mildred.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Don's right. It was about 12, 13 years ago. I'm not sure exactly how long it was, but I was sitting on the front porch late one afternoon. Hello?
Yeah, no, we're listening to you.
Okay,
and you just go right ahead. You just go right ahead and go right on with it.
Okay. I was sitting on the front porch late one afternoon, and the sun was just going down behind the trees by myself, and something caught my attention out the corner of my eye. And from my front porch, I looked to the right, and there was a creature. I do not know what it was to this day. I don't know what it was, but it was maybe 3.5, 4 feet tall, covered in hair, long hair. It was dark hair, standing upright, but the arms were up over the head.
Mm-hmm.
It came
now,
running
out
of the
arms,
woods.
Mildred, did the arms seem longer? Or,
yes,
yes,
there were long arms, but the arms were over the head, not down by the side.
Uh-huh.
It ran out of the woods into the front yard and right back into the woods.
Wow.
So I started yelling for Don to come, and of course, you know, it was too late. But I don't know what I saw. I don't know if it was a Bigfoot, if it was a Bigfoot baby. I don't know, but I've never seen before or since anything like that in my life.
I know. I can understand that. And the creature was were you able to see like the feet or the legs or anything like that, or was it not enough time?
There wasn't a whole lot of time, but the legs were like slightly bent.
Uh-huh.
It was actually I thought it was a very large monkey of some kind with no tail.
Uh-huh.
It was just...
Wow.
Yeah, it was bigger than a monkey, but smaller than, like a gorilla or anything like that, what I saw.
Mm.
But like I said, I saw it for such a short period of time, and had I known then what I know now, you know, I might have been looking for different things.
Oh,
but
of
at
course.
The time, I just was like, what in the world is this?
Well, you're surprised. I mean, you
absolutely
don't really have a lot of time to think.
No, I mean, it was just, it was maybe seconds.
Yeah, what maybe would you say to all those people out there who says, why didn't you take a picture of it?
Yeah, like, okay, wait, stand right there, let me go get a camera.
We carry a camera 24/7, okay?
Oh, I know. But even so, even if you do, usually the excitement of the moment is more than enough to delay your reaction.
Well, you know,
your brain kind of goes in a swirl. You know what I'm talking about?
It's absolutely,
it's
I
an
do.
Excitement.
I was,
it raises your heart level. I mean, everything. You're breathing heavy.
I was
it's a lot
shocked,
of stuff.
Surprised at what I saw. And I didn't really know how to react except to yell for Don.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I was just shocked because I've never seen anything like it. And like you said, we live in the country. We have all kinds of animals out here. But I have never seen before or after anything that looked like that.
Wow. Now, sometime later on, you folks, Don went out to purchase a gun.
Yes, it was about
somebody, right?
Yes.
About 2.5 months ago, I wanted to buy a Weatherby 300 mag.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on arms list, and I found one. I didn't know where it was at, but it was in North Carolina. And so I emailed the guy, and I waited for 2 days, and he finally called me up. And come to find out, he was only 15 miles away in Wilton, North Carolina. And So we arranged to meet on a Friday afternoon, and I called him up before I went there to make sure he was there, and I went to his house. I bought the rifle, and he was true to his word. It looked like it had just come off the shelf, spanking brand new.
Wow.
And we started talking about our hunting experience, where I hunted it. And I don't hunt around here because our deer are kind of small here. But I go up to the Virginia mountains, and we exchange hunting stories back and forth, and one thing led into another. And I asked him, I said, have you got an interest in early man? And he said, yeah. And I said, are you interested in who was here first in the Americas? And he said, yes. And so I gave him some sites to go to, and one thing led to another. And then it got around to Bigfoot. I don't know how it got there, but it just did. And Kenneth went quiet. He just looked at me. And he said, I'm going to tell you something that my wife and I have not told anyone. And his housing community is carved out of the woods, too. Old growth oak, pines, whatever. He said late one afternoon, he was taking a nap because he had to go into work early that morning. And his wife was on the deck in their hot tub. And all of a sudden, she came flying in the house, screaming, Kenneth, come here. And so he ran out there, and, you know, there was nothing there. And he said, what did you see? She said there was something about 3 or 3.5 feet tall standing at the end of the house, and his house, it backs up to the woods. She said it had long hair, long arms, and its hands were down by its knees. Now, I have never met this man before in my entire life. And whenever he said that, my jaw hit his driveway. And I told him my wife's story. And I've got a feeling he kind of wants to stay behind the scenes right now, because he's got a pretty high position at a company here in Oxford. But, you know, he had no reason to lie to me at all. And,
No, I don't think you lied at all. I think, and what was deja vu about it was almost exactly the same thing that your wife
said. Almost the same thing. And I mean, I fell out.
It's amazing.
And I have done a lot of hunting up in the mountains of Virginia, and I have seen the trees laying this way and laying that way and laying this way, and I have never even thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Why are so many of these small dead trees are laying this way or that way, and there's not a stump nowhere?
Right, I know.
Okay?
As a matter
now
of fact,
I know
not
what I've
did
seen.
Tonight.
Because yeah. I've been in those mountains I don't know how many times. And I've been sitting there, you know, we'll be hunting in the morning and in the afternoon. And you got your wildlife going on, your squirrels, your chipmunks, your woodpeckers, your crows, and then whatever. And then all of a sudden, everything just goes dead quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we have down tonight is on my radio show webpage, on the home, or not on the home, but on the page where it says What's Up This Week, you look in there, there's a link, there's two pictures, okay, and I left it on there from last week, and there are tree formations. And then the other thing is we have, when you have time after the show, go up and take a listen to the link. There's a link under the first guest. His name is Ben from California.
Okay.
And they have a howl It's ungodly long. My gosh. And it's a really, really neat. It was one of the best recordings I've heard in a long time.
Well, have you heard the one that a couple is towing a pontoon boat?
Well, that's the one.
Yes,
I have heard that one. That's the guy.
That is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
Because I have hunted all my life, and I have never, ever heard anything like that. And I know what a dog is, okay? And those dogs are barking. And whatever it is in the background, and we've got coyotes here, you know, I've never heard that before in my life.
No, isn't it neat? That's a pretty good recording. But anyway, I want to thank you and Mildred for coming on. We're going to stay on, though, because at the end of the show, we got a question and answer, just to ask questions of different people, of the guests that are here, when you listen to the rest of the show. And they'll ask you questions probably as well on different things. And there's a variety of things. Now, what I've done is, in the photo gallery, I've got four pictures. And I've got a picture, one picture of a tree formation that comes from Anthony. And he'll be on here shortly. I've got another picture from another gentleman who's not here, but he sent me a whole bunch of pictures, and one was a picture of a creature that he got, and it's kind of in the wintertime. And then Richard from New York, I have one of his pictures, and this is kind of in the background. It's kind of hard to make out, but you can see something in the background behind the tree, and that's one of his pictures. And then from Frost, Texas, I have a picture of a peanut butter jar where the creature pooped in it.
My goodness.
And the lady that had that DNA tested and all that stuff. So, I mean, there's some controversial, some good discussion items there if you want to take a look. And it's on the www.bigfootlive.com. And, you know, that's what we'll be talking about. But anyway, I want to appreciate you guys coming on. And we're going to go to our next guest. I got to go to a commercial. And we'll be back in a little while and bring you right back in.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Don, and thank you, Mildred.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to mute you out right now, and then we're going to go commercial. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. We're going to go to commercial, and we'll be back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, folks, and we're going out there to Chris from Arkansas. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Pretty good, Marco. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, tell us what's been going on in your area there.
Oh, the weather here has been, it hasn't been cold, but it's been raining, and it's kind of hard to get around very far out there. Because the marsh fills up.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to really get out there and look because I can't walk through there. I can't drive through it either. I don't know. I don't have a truck bad enough to do that. So
and I wouldn't want to go out there. You'd probably not be able to get your truck back out again.
Yeah. If you got out there, you probably wouldn't get back. Yeah, that's right. so I decided I just would go out there along the bank of this pond that's close to the marsh, and I would just, you know, like leave some. What it was Chewy Chips Ahoy with Reese's peanut butter cookies. I would leave them up on little small branches, about 6.5 feet up, I guess. And I'd put them on like the smallest branches I could. They had like a little fork, so the cookie would stay there. You know, it wasn't, you know, if the branch went left or right, the cookie wasn't just going to fall off. But that the branch was small enough that, like, if a squirrel or something went to get on it, you know, that the branch would just fall off. I mean, it would not fall off, but just, like, fall, like, lay over, and the squirrel would, like, fall off, and the cookie would fall off. Well, I went back out there after I put about, I'd say probably about 12 cookies up in two different areas, and every one of the cookies was gone the next day when I went back out there to check on them. I don't know if it was, you know, you can't be sure what it was. I didn't put a game camera up, but I mean, it's pretty cool to me that somewhere where, you know, you put the cookies up in there, and I mean, birds and stuff, they're not going to get them cookies and, I mean, leave no crumbs or nothing like that. Like, I looked all around the ground underneath where I put them. There was no sign of the cookies. The cookies were, they were gone.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, a deer didn't get them, and I know a raccoon didn't get them. You know, not where I put them anyway.
Well, that's pretty neat. That's a neat little thing to do, yeah. Well, did you have a chance to look at the webpage tonight before you came on, or not? No.
No, I normally do it after we do the show, or while we're doing it. Most of the time, I get on there and look while we're doing the show. Sometimes.
Yeah, what I did is I put that peanut butter jar with the poop in it for you. You take a look at it. You can see the. yeah. That was from Frost, Texas, and actually. And what happened in Frost, Texas was they had about 26 people show up from the town to go out, and they went out from between 10 and 3 in the morning, and actually had three people that had visual encounters while they were out there. The baited area that we set up, and what we do is we usually set up a baited area, and we prep it. And what we do is dust it and clean it so that if something does come through there, we can get either a footprint or some evidence that it came through. And then we put peanut butter, smeared that on a tree, and then we put sardine cans opened up high enough to where a regular varmint can't get it, and it's way up there, about 8-10 feet. Sardine can was crushed. The sardines were eaten, and the sardine cans were crushed and tossed on the ground next to it. I mean, crushed, crunched. And the peanut butter was licked dry, and the peanut butter jar, we had finger marks in it. Well, we looked at our game cam, and guess what? We had a picture of a hand, a hairy hand, going into the peanut butter jar. We took a cast of that, and it came out pretty good. And we actually had the fingerprints in the two fingers that the creature used to get the peanut butter out of the jar with. Hmm. That next day, when we were ending up with the expedition, they looked all over for the peanut butter jar, and they found it in the bushes. And the creature had pooped in it.
Oh, my God.
And left it there, kind of like a sign to get the heck out of Dodge. So anyway, that's how that happened. And it's pretty neat. But anyway.
Thanks for the peanut butter. Here's some poop. Yep.
Yeah. And she's had it. She collected it and had it. And she's had it in for, getting analyzed and everything. And we keep in touch with her every once in a while here. She hasn't come on the show anymore because she's kind of like, she's had a lot of harassment where she's at there. And actually had a lot of people come out there as a result of the, not on being on radio, but being the townspeople and other people that come out to help in the expedition. The word gets around, right? And she just doesn't want a whole bunch of people tromping around her property looking for Bigfoot. You know, and I don't blame her. And so she's just kind of, the family's kind of kept a little quiet, but that's okay. The creature gives presents, leaves presents, like rocks, colored rocks, stacks little stacks of rocks up in different places, and they do the same thing. They'll leave food and things like that in the different places. So the activity has been going on for about a year and a half, and it's still going on right now. So it's pretty neat. They got a looks like they got a family pod out there, and you know, they bear gifts and take gifts. So it's pretty neat. Anyway, thank you for coming on. And what we'll do a little later on here is we'll have the discussion, and the floor will be open for everybody to get in there and ask questions. And that's why I asked you to come back on the show tonight, so you could ask some questions and answer questions well, that people might have for you. So we want to thank you for coming on, Chris. Yeah.
Appreciate having me.
Okay, thanks, and we'll be back with you here in a little bit. Now, I've got two of your pictures that you sent me of that tree formation. I left them up there from last week. And then I have four pictures. Yeah, and I have four pictures from the photo gallery. And one of them is a tree formation that Anthony had, one of them. I couldn't get a lot of pictures up there. Maybe some other time I can put a whole bunch of pictures in there that people can see all the different formations we have, things like that.
I know we're going to have the group discussion later, but I'd just like to say real quick to Richard in New York, I saw the video, man. My phone got broke shortly after you sent it, but I did see that video that you sent me on my email. And you could definitely see what you're talking about standing back there behind that bush in that video. I don't know if that picture is based off of that video. I need to go look at that picture as well. But I know you could definitely see it in that video, which you was talking about, move behind that bush. You could definitely see it.
Yeah, and in fact, that's something you're going to be able to discuss tonight. So thank you, Chris. We'll get out there, and we'll be right. It won't be very long here. I want to go see Anthony in Virginia here next. Take care now. I'll see you a little bit later.
Appreciate it.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out to Anthony, Virginia. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
Doing all right, Marco Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So I know you probably haven't had any time to go out there, but you've had a few experiences or a few things that are going on, right?
Yeah, I had talked in the past about a friend of mine who is currently is not comfortable with coming on the show right now, but he doesn't have a problem with me sharing some of his experiences.
Sure.
But if you and your listeners recall, he's the one that I told you that he's had he had seen the creature when his dogs had were barking like crazy, and when he was. And his dogs just suddenly stopped, and he looked in the direction of where they were all focusing in on. That's where the creature was. It seems like there's been a whole lot more going on. He has yet to tell his wife what he saw, but he now thinks that her experience is coming soon because, you know, she is out there quite a bit, and she's telling them that I keep hearing these noises. It sounds like a woman screaming in the woods, you know. and she says she knows it's not an owl. It's not a dog or a coyote or anything like that. But she says it sounds like women chattering, and sometimes they're screaming one to another. But the interesting thing that happened to my friend, happened to notice that they were talking, but it looked like they were repeating the words that he was saying. A lot of times, he has three dogs, two Dalmatians and a Labrador, black lab, and he constantly, you know, like when he talks to his dogs, he's like, "Hey you, hey you," and he happened to be out with his dogs, and right from the woods, the dogs their ears kind of perked up, they all got alert, and then from the woods, he hears, "Hey you, hey you," you know, and he's like, "What in the world?" And he knows nobody's, you know, where he lives, it's just him and his wife, and, you know, and all these acres, and he's like, you know, who in the world is back there? You know, there's only one road that comes up his home, and nobody drove up. There's no new car in the driveway or anything like that. And you know, so he thought that was pretty interesting. But the very next day, and mind you, this is just a few days ago, the very next day, he's waking up and he's getting up early so he can let his dogs out. And, you know, they were all kind of in a rush to get out. You know, and I guess, I don't know if they're like that every day, but anyway, they were just wanting to get out. And then, you know, he's just like, you know, telling them, get back, you know, just calm down, let me get the door open. You know, just like, back. And then once the dog stepped back, he heard this loud thump, right? And he's like, oh, what's going on here? And he said it sounded like it was a something big, you know. And I suggested, did it sound like an elephant walking out there? He said, yeah, it sounded like an elephant was walking outside his house. Yeah. So, and that's, he, you know, just, but he said it looked like it must have been like high up from something, probably high up in a tree or whatever, but it just like jumped, you know, whatever it was, you kind of thought it might have. He didn't see anything, but he just kind of felt like, you know, when somebody kind of is high up on a tree and jumps down. But he said it was a huge, I mean, it was a very, very, you know, big loud thump. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is. It is. So I'm sure he'll probably get another encounter soon. He's seen it twice on his property, but his wife has yet to see anything. But she's been hearing in the past year,
sure,
hearing a lot of weird things going on.
Well, that's great. And what I did is I think I took one of your pictures and I put it on the photo gallery, and that's the one where the tree is bent across the road.
Right. And
you
actually,
remember?
I saw that picture that you posted there, and that picture there, that's the exact curve in the road where I had the sighting to the
right.
Left, to the left of that tree. And then Tom had come about a month later, and that's where we casted the footprint.
Yep. So. That's why I put that one there.
Yeah,
it was a good, it had a lot of memories in it.
Oh, yeah. But that
well,
arch
I want to thank
that
you.
Was there was new when I took that picture. It wasn't like that before, so that arch in the way was kind of new.
Oh, yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming on.
Sure.
And we'll be here in a little bit, right after we get done with Richard. We're going to be going into a discussion phase here. So you can ask some questions to some of the guests, and they can ask questions to you.
That's fine.
And I put some pictures up there just to stimulate the conversation.
All right.
Did you see that one next to it, the creature?
The one behind the leaves there?
Yeah, well, it looks like he's holding a log. Or a tree is bent.
Okay.
You can see his eyes.
That's a colorful one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the behind the trees. That's Richard, one of Richard's pictures. And that's it's kind of hidden in the leaves behind it, but you can kind of make out like features.
Yeah.
And
looks like you can see an eye behind it.
Yeah. You can see that kind of stuff. So, and it's kind of interesting things. And of course, peanut butter poop was pretty pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, they don't like
that. Anyway, thanks for coming on there, Anthony.
Oh, you're
welcome. And we'll see you in just a little bit here in the discussion.
All righty.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony. Now we're going to go out here to Richard from New York. Richard, how are you, my friend?
Hi, Tom. Marco, excuse me.
That's
how are
okay.
you?
I'm doing great.
Before we get started, Chris said something about the video I sent him over the phone.
Yeah.
Where it walks across and disappears into the tree line.
Yeah.
I just want to tell Chris that if I ever sent him that full video, he could play the full video and probably pick out at least 10 or 12 or more other creatures in that video by stopping
sure.
and doing what I do, yeah. but with my, I take my digital camera and I take pictures. In fact, that's
yeah.
where that
well, Richard,
that
let me tell you something how you can do that. If it's a large file,
mm-hmm.
you can get a free account with YouSendIt. It's free.
YouSendIt?
And Yeah, you send it. It's gold. And basically what you do is it'll allow you to upload like 300 megs or 3 gigs mm-hmm. or 300 megs, something like that, mm-hmm. and load it, and then you send an email to him, and he gets the email, and it has a password. He goes up, and he gets the password, puts it in, and he can download it from that site into his mm-hmm. computer. And it works really great for large files.
Yes.
And, you could send him the whole file.
You send okay. But, Tom, I'm not afraid to share anything I have with anybody that's serious about this.
Oh, I know.
Because
I know that.
Because I'm absolutely, it's like a compulsion to find the truth.
Absolutely. You're like, well, we're all part of the same kind of a team,
absolutely.
I think, all of us that are on here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all doing the same thing.
I told you I have that. I'm going to have my son compress it so I can send of that one that we were talking about today, the one I call
sure.
Curious George.
Yeah.
It's in that same video. It's at a trail marker. The trail marker's approximately 5.5, 6 feet tall. You know, it's got the colored marker on it for the, and about 1.5 feet from the bottom of the trail marker, you will see I can't say it's a primate face, but it's nothing else that belongs in there. It's got big eyes, a rounded head, like a. It looks almost like Curious George. I'm serious, and the,
sure.
and it's got a flat nose, and it's got a long upper lip, you know, underneath the nose, like a chimp.
Yeah.
But on that, it's like a mustache. It's got a mustache, almost like a walrus mustache that hangs down. I don't know if anybody's
mm-hmm.
ever seen that before, but it's very, very clear. It's probably the clearest thing you'll ever see. But I can't. Every time I send you something, you don't get it right.
Well, sometimes it's all in the formatting, Richard.
Uh-huh.
You know, what you're looking at it with probably works fine because you have the software and the other things that goes with that particular
mm-hmm.
device. But what can happen is when you, if you don't have the same device or the same, it's actually the drivers and other things like that that can distort or mess up a file on a playback, right? And that's what it is a lot of times. But don't worry, it's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't see something. You can, it just doesn't, yeah.
And that picture.
Tell us about your whistles.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I called up you guys about 8 months ago, and I said that I heard, like, warning calls. I thought they were warning calls because it always happened when I came and left, okay? As soon as
mm-hmm.
I made that turn into what I call Indian country,
mm-hmm.
I'd hear these two whistles, always two, no more than two at a time. And I said it was like a fan belt slipping. But my daughter gave me a book about a habitation in Oregon for Christmas, and
mm-hmm.
they described the noises they heard as a teapot when it whistles.
Yeah.
And you know what? I went back and listened to them. That's what they sound like. And I heard it. And I heard it in another spot that I go to. The same exact call, whistle, whatever you want to call it. And I
yeah.
did. And the reason I got the video originally was because I heard a remarkable primate scream, and I told my wife about it, and she said, and I was frustrated. And she said, well, just walk with your video on while you walk. That's the only reason I got the video in the first place. If I was trying to get it, I probably would have never got it because I would have had the camera to my eye. I was just walking with my camera on, and it picked up
sure.
the whole video. So I wanted to ask you, I mean, because I didn't look like I was looking for anything, maybe they were a little bit less cautious. That could be possibly right.
Sure.
And another thing I wanted to ask you, because you and Tom have a lot more experience than I do, if they know that I'm out there going to the same spot looking for footprints, do you think they're intelligent enough to try to make more of an effort to hide their footprints?
Oh, they could. I mean, they're pretty intelligent creatures, we think, based on our encounters with them and
yeah,
other people.
Footprints dried up. They just dried up. I wasn't getting footprints
yeah.
anymore. And I don't look in the middle of the trail. I look to the side. I go into the grass. Just dried up.
Well, if they're smart enough to avoid game cameras, which they are pretty smart enough to do.
Yeah, it must.
As a matter of fact, that one that I told you in Frost, Texas. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Frost, Texas one where we got the hand in the peanut butter jar. That's all we got was a hand. That should have taken a picture of the whole thing, but it didn't.
They don't know what it is, but they know it's something, probably, right? That they
should. Yeah.
Be
well, we had one of the guys from Arizona had a game cam, and he went out to check his game cams, and one of them he had hanging in the tree. Something climbed the tree. He had to climb the tree to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Busted the face of the camera and peed in it.
Ha! They know.
There've been other incidences where they've actually taken the cameras and ripped them off the tree.
One other thing, I don't like to criticize people, but I'm almost done watching Finding Bigfoot. I mean, I'm almost done. My wife says they don't get nothing. They don't ever get anything.
Well,
it's frustrating.
It's just, because they don't have... Their producers kind of call us like every month or so to try to get new material.
I wanted to always go on a BFRO expedition, but now I'm glad I saved my money and didn't go.
The BFRO does have some very dedicated people.
I believe they do.
The people that are on that show are not all the BFRO. BFRO is a very large organization. And there are some very dedicated people out there that belong to it. And, of course, in any organization, as you may understand, there's good people and there's yin-yangs, just like in the rest of the world.
And I believe most of the people that do this are legitimately like us. They want to solve this mystery. And they go about it different ways. So I really shouldn't condemn them, but they got to have more luck. My gosh.
Yeah.
You can't
stay
in one spot for one night and expect to see something from what I've learned.
Well, not only that, but you can't walk around with a whole camera crew and expect that you're going to have all kinds of encounters.
And screaming.
Right.
And once you scream, that's it. They're not going to be there. They know what you're talking
about. Well, they probably know as we're walking in the woods where we at, what we are doing.
They do when I do, I know.
So, yeah.
I mean, I haven't had, like you and Tom, what a trip that must be when you go out to new places. I'm pretty much...
Well, yeah, and Tom does that because it's fresh, it's new.
What a rush.
It's fresh and new, and it's right there. I mean, he usually gets there within a day, so that's pretty doggone fast.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 days from coast to coast, I'm talking, when he travels, they travel. They don't, I mean, it's an arduous task. They call it sleep deprivation
now,
to the maximum.
When he goes in, he doesn't do the screaming and stuff, does he?
They do, yeah. They have, he has also recordings that they have. That
they call blast.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you bait. See,
yep.
I can't do that where I go. But I'll tell you what I did find last time.
Tell
I
you
did
what,
go.
When we're on here next, we gotta go to a commercial break, and we're gonna come back and do the discussion. We come back, ask Anthony. He'll tell you how to bait the area. Tom showed him.
Okay.
How to do that?
I'll be glad to. Anything
sure.
I can learn.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight, Richard. We'll see you just in a little bit when we come back from our commercial here, and we'll have an open discussion for everybody, okay?
Yep.
Take care, and I'll see you in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to commercial, and when we come back, we're going to start our discussion. Thank you.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing. Oh, oh, oh.
down like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back, and I'm going to unmute everybody. We're going to have Rocky on here. We're going to have Chris. We're going to have Richard. We're going to have Don and Mildred. We're going to have Steve, the gentle giant, and Anthony. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Oh. Hello.
We're here.
Well, the first thing I'd like to throw out there, Anthony, could you answer Richard's question about how do you bait the area and stuff like that?
Well,
prep an area for it.
Well, I would definitely use sardines, just like Tom had laid out. He had showed me. It seems to be a pretty good treat, and I'm sure some of your other listeners are also familiar with that as well, probably some of your guests there.
Well, why don't you tell them how you prep the area?
As far as the ground, they cleared up an area, you know, they softened the dirt all around, and you know, they threw some water just to, you know, to make the dirt nice and moist, you know, so if anything came stepping through, it would you know, make a very good impression, and it did. Luckily for us, it did. As far as the food, you know, they first laid out some peanut butter, and then they put some sardines on top of the peanut butter. So, you know, and what you learn from the pictures, you know, it seems like they don't like peanut butter. But they ate up the sardines, not a problem. And just like you mentioned it before, we saw the game cameras go off. Rex had a video of the game camera, the flash going off, but these buggers are so quick. I mean, even if they don't mess with the game camera, they'll, you know, they just come in and out.
Yeah.
Well,
does anybody else have a question or comment?
Hey, Anthony.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried, I was going to write this to Marco once myself. I've had like 9 encounters with these creatures. But what I was going to suggest is try taking peanut butter. Now, this is just an oddball idea. Take peanut butter and those sardines, mix them together like you're going to make peanut butter cookies and cook them and see what happens.
Oh, okay.
Rocky, do you have anything?
What happened when you did
that? Huh?
What happened when you did that?
Believe it or not, before I took off from Northern California and me and my other half came down here, I went up to Berry Creek. Matter of fact, Tom has all the files and stuff that I sent him about through the past years of my sightings I've had with the creature. And me and my other half went up to a place called Berry Creek, California. The Native Americans up there call it the protector of the woods, and we heard this thing in the background, and we saw kind of like a gray-colored, hairy-type elbow behind the tree, and, you know, I'm pointing at her, and I had the cookies, so I laid the cookies down on a log, And I think we went back up there the next following week, and the cookies were gone. The package was there, but the cookies were gone. So I figured they must have left it.
Okay.
Excuse me, this is Richard. Can I just say something to Mildred?
Yes.
Mildred, there's Marco put a photo of mine up there.
Uh-huh.
And if it's the one I think it is, that creature is about the same size as the one you saw. That's about between 4 and 5 feet tall.
Right.
And it's pretty. That one's pretty primate looking. And it, if it's the one I think it is, even has kind of a sinister. It's giving me like a glare as I'm walking to it. And as I got to it, as I came closer, it didn't panic. It just shrunk farther back into the bush because I took later pictures of it. It just shrunk back into the bushes a little bit.
Exactly.
I walked right by it and never saw it.
Well, you know, whenever it came out of the woods the night I saw it,
yeah,
I didn't approach it at all. I just screamed for my husband. And as soon as I screamed for him to come out, it was right back. It was out of the woods maybe 5 seconds and
yeah,
back into the woods.
Well, my one real sighting that I've ever had, when I had my granddaughter with me, and I think that's the only reason I saw it. It went across the trail. The one I saw went across the trail on all fours, and that was no bigger than a chip, but it was so fast it was like a panther. You,
right.
You couldn't train on it if you wanted to. That's
right.
How quick it was.
Exactly. And, I mean, our front yard was all – the front yard was cleared. There was trees all around the front yard. It came out and went right back in that short of span of time.
Was there any footprints?
You know, at the time, like I said, this had been 12, 13 years ago. At the time, we didn't think anything about it.
We were pretty ignorant then.
Yeah, except, you know, that, you know. So we never went and looked for prints.
Yeah.
And I regret that because now, you know, I could have something positive to say. You know, we have this print, but, you know, at the time we didn't think about it.
Well, at that time our yard was grass, and it came right up to the old growth woods. Mm-hmm. So you have your grass, and then you have your leaves, and there was nothing, there was no mud or dirt or anything. It was just, you know, but I didn't look.
If it was my property, what I would do, I would take that along that tree line, about 6 or 7 feet, I would clear all that area and leave like a sandy or, you know, loamy type, so there's something.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, good.
But I've also had close to 2 acres of trees clear around my house because I had to do it because they were old growth and they were dying, and I had to get the trees out of here. But I've got one question to ask everybody. Have y'all seen the Stacy Brown video?
I don't think I have.
No, I don't think I have either.
Yeah, I was a FLIR scout camera. It shows the Bigfoot. He's on the backside of a tree. And he looks left. And then he looks right. He hides again. And then you see him crossing a small clearing. He cleared that clearing in one step. It was 12 feet wide.
Wow.
And the next day they went out there and took a measurement of the tree. It was 9.5 feet tall.
My goodness.
And another one here from Minnesota.
Where do you find this video at?
I go to, what I do is I go to recent Bigfoot videos, and I go through every single one of them.
Is that on YouTube?
No, it is actually on Facebook, Bigfoot, and that's why it shows up. But you haven't got to go to Facebook.
this guy
recent Bigfoot videos.
Yes.
Bigfoot found Bigfoot.
Yes. And then there's another one out of Florida. It is absolutely amazing. You watch the Bigfoot, it is setting down, and it is propped up against a tree, and all of a sudden it just raises up. No arm use whatsoever. And you can see the white hands. It walks around, and then all of a sudden it'll walk back and forth. It checks the guy out, and he's gone. These videos. They will blow you away.
I'm absolutely convinced that if they see you first, you're never going to see them, ever.
Never had that problem.
And then you have a Michael Green. He has a thermal video that is absolutely unbelievable. And then what has really impressed me is a policeman's dashboard cam video.
That's been around for a while, yeah. That's pretty good.
And that is absolutely awesome because you can tell these, the passenger and him are absolutely, what did we just see?
Tell you what I'll do. For next week, I'll make a page on the website and I'll put up some of our, we have a creature climbing a tree. And another where he's coming around a couple of years ago, we got these, and we're knuckle walking, and it comes up right up next to the camera, and then goes away.
Marco, do they shimmy up the tree?
The one that I've seen, you can't. It's hard to see because it's in twilight. But basically, what they did, it comes up behind. There's actually what happens is what you don't realize is another Bigfoot already in the tree.
Yes,
and. And what happens is this thing goes up, and just like nothing, man, he just walks, it crawls right up that tree, and all of a sudden the tree is shaking, and then you can hear all the guttural sounds back and forth. Now, what we did, you can't see this in the video because it's just too dark, right? But what we did is we had a good friend of ours stabilize the video and lighten it up. And what you can see is you can see two creatures or wimps. They're not very clear, you have to understand, but they're there, and they're shaking that tree back and forth. It's amazing. It's pretty good.
This is Chris. I just wanted to ask a question. I heard somebody say today, when Richard said that I'm fully convinced that if they see you first, you're not gonna see them, but he said that they never had that problem. Was that the Gentle Giant?
Yeah, that was me.
What exactly, how do you approach the situation when you go out there? Because I know that I can get close to these creatures, but
how tall are you?
Daytime, how tall am I?
Yeah.
I'm about 5'11".
If that's why. Ask Marco, he knows.
Steve is 7'4".
Put a fur coat on, maybe they'll think you
that's
want.
That's what we call Steve the Gentle Giant. If you ever used to have a picture of the thing.
I got a full beard, full mustache. My lady says I look like a caveman. Or
that's
Santa
why.
Claus, whatever. And I've seen these things 9 times. The 9th one I've seen in Oroville, California. Before I decided to move to Southern California in the desert to do prospecting. But one of these days I'll probably head back up. But I've never had second from last one I saw, it was about maybe, 15 feet away. And I didn't really expect it to be there until I saw this big tree shake back and forth. And I saw it. I didn't think anything of it, so I just went on my merry way.
Well, I want to see one, too. I have spent so much time in the woods hunting, I haven't seen nothing.
Do you have any advice for a 5'11 guy?
Don't hunt with a rifle because they hate guns. I'm serious. Everybody I've known that ever took a shot at these things, they've thrown rocks at them. They've done everything. They just don't like guns.
Oh, I wouldn't dare shoot one. No.
If you shot one, I think you might have a little problem getting out of the woods alive.
I believe so, too.
Yeah, well, what a lot of people don't realize is these things usually are not alone. And where there's one that you see, there may be others or at least one in the area. And a good example of that is in May of 2007, we had an expedition in Texas. And we had taken some teams out. We had five teams. Three out of the five teams had encounters. One of them had a female. Yeah, Paris, Texas. And what they did is they had a female that was kind of like, it's pitch dark, it was storming, but they had a female that was, behind a rock, and she was scared, and she was screaming. And actually, they were hearing baby cries, too, which the baby cries, I think, were mimics from her. And what happened is one of the teams went in, and they were going to go in, and they got so excited, he dropped his cell phone in the mud. I mean, all kinds of stuff. They went in, and as they started going in, rocks started coming from the other side.
Yep.
And it did not hit them, but it missed them, but it missed them near misses, and they were hitting the water. And that was a sign to, get out of here. Yep, and then they did. They turned around, and they went out, and as soon as they got a certain distance, the rocks started stopped being hurled. So that does happen.
Well, I'm sure they will defend their own, believe me.
Sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've extended the show here for about another 10 minutes. It's just so everybody can get something to say in here. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I'll keep in touch with you. Keep Bigfooting and keep researching. I'll be in touch with you next week, and if something goes on, give me a call. We'll have you back on the show to talk about it, okay? I want to thank Don and Mildred for coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank you both.
I wish
thank
everybody
you.
A good evening, and happy Bigfooting, everybody. Good night.
Okay.
Good night,
Marco.
Bye.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're all together.